Good afternoon. I'm well, Mike. Hope you are too, and your listeners. Good to be with you again.
Well, I appreciate you making the time, and I believe if my memory serves me right, some days is better than others, but last Tuesday, weren't we kicking around the idea of we could see snow upwards of an inch and a half, and we were laughing about Adam and making sure that he was watching the weather more than I was. And now, a week later, we're talking about 58 and temperatures in the 60s the next couple of days, so I guess what's the old saying? If you don't like the weather in Indiana, stick around for a couple days and it will change. So I guess, I don't know what month. It doesn't feel like December. It's hard to feel like Christmassy and holiday-y when we have temperatures this warm, but we'll take it, right?
Yeah, we will, Mike, and I remember that. And, of course, we were that Friday, too. We were worried about the storms and, that awful. We just were a couple hundred plus miles north of what could have been terrible, for us. So we take that blessing, too, when it happens. The tornadoes came through.
That's a great point. And people sometimes on the street give me some stick about how many times I give the weather and point to, do things like that and say, hey, look, I just want you to be aware. You don't have to listen, but you have to be aware. And we were talking about that on Tuesday, and that happened, late Friday into Saturday morning. An awful situation in Kentucky and Illinois, Arkansas, Missouri. Hundreds and thousands of dollars in damage, millions of dollars in damage, lives lost. I think I read in Kentucky, over 1,000 properties alone just gone. We have to take this seriously. And when we talk about weird weather and weird months, that's why we have to know. Thankfully, it missed us.
We like getting news on the radio. You got to keep us posted on what's happening.
Trying to keep up with it all. But you join us every Tuesday, and this is the Tuesday the 14th. Next Tuesday will be the winter solstice, and the weather will look a little bit more seasonable. Next week for Christmas, we'll knock on wood and hope we don't have inches and things. Everybody wants a white Christmas until they have to shovel it, right?
We like a magic dusting and maybe make a snowman and then have it go away.
That's right.
So we don't have to worry about it. We'll see. We'll live with it. We'll make it through.
So we can get over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house or anywhere else that we need to go. But the other thing that we talked about last week, and here it is again, the COVID numbers here, there, and everywhere. I'm not trying to incite fear. I'm trying to give people perspective. And the press release we saw from the city last week, the perspective, we don't measure what you're doing at the city per se with COVID cases, but the number hit double digits, I believe, for the first time ever since you've been announcing COVID cases. And it just reinforces that it's not gone yet. You've got a new hospital. We have a new hospital here in the community, and I know you meet with those leaders and have your press conferences every Friday. Kind of sobering last week.
Yeah, we weren't supposed to have a press conference last Friday. We're on it every other week schedule, but we all agreed last Wednesday that we needed to talk to the community and give them an update because things were really going south quickly, and fear is not the right response. The right response is attention and wariness, but getting after it and doing the right things. And we at the press conference, as you mentioned, look, we never had a week in city government since this whole thing started that we had double-digit positive cases, and we did last week. We had 11 employees test positive. The hospital has never had to call in the National Guard to help them deal with some of just the logistics and the operations in a hospital because of all the cases, and they had to do that last week across the IU health system. We've now got hospital beds filled almost as high as ever last year before we had the vaccines and when we were all real and really were worried about things. So it is frustrating, it's disappointing, and it's distressing that the governor called this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's what we're in, because the vaccinated folks, while they may get sick and transmit the Delta variant, which is still all around us, don't end up typically in the hospital or dying, but we do have a lot of unvaccinated people. Our it's really distressing. I'm really sorry we're here at the end of 21, and it just reminds us we gotta be careful and take the right steps.
I think that's the point of annoyance with me is how do we have more with vaccines when we didn't have vaccines? Because we were shut down. And we couldn't go to basketball games, and we couldn't have cocktail parties, and we couldn't eat at our favorite restaurants.
Right.
It's just
and the Delta variant. That's the other
good
thing.
Good point.
Because you know we were in pretty good shape in July, this summer. We were really coming down and at very low levels, and then the Delta variant hit, and that really was very infectious and problematic. And you know, now of course we're kind of keeping our eye out for Omicron. That's not really present that we know of in any significant number yet, but it could be. So, it's just frustrating, I know. And more and more people need to get vaccinated and boosted and protected, and we'll eventually get out of this, but we're not there yet.
And we will pass on to those folks. The vaccine clinic, as is at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall today and tomorrow. It runs from 3:00 to 8 p.m. What you can get there is for 18 and older only, because they just have Moderna for the first or the second and Moderna booster. So I don't want to send out any incorrect information where, it's 18 and up. You go to the ourshot.in.gov. You click on set an appointment, select all vaccine sites, select Monroe, and look for IND, IU Simon Scott Assembly Hall Vax, to schedule your appointment at the clinic. I have not gone through it. I've been boosted. I don't know if there's any times left. People keep tweeting this out from all walks of life and government, so I'm hoping they have times. It will be today from 3 to 8 and tomorrow from 3 to 8 as well. So Indiana University is one of the safest places to be, it seems like.
They really are. They're doing so much good protecting their folks, 95% vaccinated, et cetera. And I'll just add one thing, a couple things. One, the Moderna is fine as a booster if you got the Pfizer first, that's okay, or the J&J. The Moderna, everybody's CDC is everybody comfortable. You can use that as your booster. And second, you didn't maybe hear it from me, but even if you can't get an appointment, you might just want to try showing up too.
They're not gonna throw away the doses.
They want to use the doses. They want to use the doses.
That's right.
So.
And I don't know how many times you can freeze or isn't Moderna the one that has to be kept at a very low temperature?
I think Pfizer is the one that's super low, but I could be wrong. I've forgotten. I'm a Pfizer guy, but I can't remember. But.
Right. Good point on you're able to mix and match. I had the J&J. I had a Pfizer booster. The doctor said, yeah, that's fine. You can do that. So get it. Why? We're all going to gather with friends and family, if not starting this weekend, definitely next weekend. People leaving school. We know the Indiana University population, Dr. Chuck Carney told me last week, is 95%. So we were worried a year ago about you go home, you don't come back. And that was the whole deal. So that's going to be a little bit different. So we just want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday and not do it. You don't want to, if you want to tour the new hospital, just call you, right? You can get somebody over there. Those people don't need to be overwhelmed.
Don't need to get sick. Don't get sick to go there. Yeah, they can get a tour. But I guess the last thing on that front, and Mike, I know I appreciate you sharing the information, is, it is, even if we're vaccinated, I'm vaccinated, boosted, it's good these days to think about anybody you're with could be carrying the virus. And just be careful with your family, those you're with all the time, you're already in a pod with them, but just realize there's a lot of this going around, and masking and distancing is smart to help tamp it down and keep everybody safe. We just know it's really a big surge going on now, so be careful.
And we talked about being in the blue about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and boy, since then, we jinxed that.
We've gone south. Yep.
went the other direction. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. The mayor of the city of Bloomington checks in with us every Tuesday afternoon, the non-holiday editions, just after 4:05. And plenty of things happening, even though we're wrapping up 2021. And some construction is finishing up on East 3rd Street in front of the police station and the Boys and Girls Club down there. We've had some one lanes and some shifting lanes and everything else. But you're going to unveil some new parking strategies by the Boys and Girls Club and the police station. Go slow now. I've got to get my pen out here to keep up with you. Tell me what the heck's going on over there now.
Now don't get nervous about these parking changes, but let's talk through them calmly, okay? Yeah, so that's part of, as you know, the big dig, the Hidden River, the expanding the culvert that takes the Campus River down, eventually down through to Switchyard Park and goes underneath the city. And so that dig has meant a lot of construction. Well, reopening Lincoln Avenue between 2nd and 3rd Street by the Boys and Girls Club, by the park, we are actually putting in back-in angle parking. Now, that's the first time in Bloomington. I don't know if Indiana has this. It's kind of becoming more popular around the country. And before you flip out on this now, remember, when you go to an angle parking place, you have to back in or back out. You got to back one time or the other.
That's
right?
That's a good point.
You can't go forward both times. So most of the traffic experts, and I'll tell you why, but they really feel back in at the beginning is safer. First, you can put your, it's kind of like parallel parking. You just put your signal on and tell your traffic behind you, hey, I'm going into this parking space. So they see you. They know you're going in. You pull a little past it, and you back in. Pretty much like parallel parking, except it's a little easier because you can pull right in. The good thing is when it's time to leave, unlike now when you can't see the traffic when you're trying to pull out, you actually can look and see the traffic and find the right time to pull out, and you're not surprising them. A couple other things were interesting to realize is you, when you open the car doors when you're backed in, if you got kiddies and such, the doors kind of make sure they move to the sidewalk rather than toward the street.
That's
if you think
true.
About that.
That's absolutely
and
true.
And second, if you got to get in your trunk, you're doing it at the sidewalk instead of out in the street. So this is really a smart thing and safer, but we actually, I was going to try to go out and do a video on this today, Mike, to like show like how to do it. You know?
I like it.
Don't flip out. It's going to be okay. But you know, take your time. Let's be polite with each other, and let's see how this goes on Lincoln Street.
Well, you've just talked me off the ledge, because when I read the headline, I thought to myself, well, this is just completely ridiculous and unnecessary. And some people will think that regardless, but the fact of the matter is, you do have to back out or back in, or once one way or the other. That is very good, and the safety of herding everyone to the sidewalk and being in your trunk. That does make sense. Who came up with such a wonderful idea such as this?
We almost did back-in parking on Hillside, I think, a couple years ago. But there was a big hoo-ha about it, and the city council changed it to regular. So it's still regular. But it's actually our planners and looking around this country. If you think about it, it is safer, and evidence suggests it is, to do this where you can signal when you're going to pull in. You signal to the traffic behind you, they give you space, just like parallel parking. But it's so much safer than when you come out. I mean, if you've parked, I have, you know, angle parking on the square, for example, it's really hard to get out of there because you don't know where the traffic is. You can't tell whether it's clear or not. And, it's not safe. And then getting in and out with the trunk and all that stuff, it's all better. So let's see how it goes. Let's give it a shot. People can call in and tell you I'm an idiot or whatever if they want to, but you go out there and try it and let's see how it goes, all right?
Well, I think that's the interesting side of the coin there, because I think some people will jump to an automatic conclusion that this will start happening everywhere. Are there other places in mind, or is this more of a test, a guinea pig subject, or is this something we're going to look at in the future?
Well, let's see how it goes. Let's just call it a little pilot.
Okay, pilot prog.
Experiment,
okay.
And see how people take to it. And it's not like there's a new law passed that said any new angle parking has to be back in only. But we'll see how it works.
Well, sometimes those laws do get passed, and we just don't realize them.
Yeah,
right?
that's true.
That's a little. Now here I specialize in the dumb question. You're here every Tuesday. You have to go through some of these with me. What if I don't back in? Am I in trouble? Because I'm so used to just pulling in.
Well, first of all, it's really hard. It'd be hard for you to make that turn.
Oh, good point. Yeah. See, I'm not any good at math.
You'd have to make a really sharp sharp turn. So it will be back. It'll be a. You might get ticketed, let's just put it that way, if you try to go in straight. So
probably
find another
warning.
Spot if you're not willing to try it.
Well, that's like parallel parking. Some people look at it and say, nope, that's not for me. I will gladly gladly drive around the block and see what's out there again.
Or maybe, okay. You know, I think if you get one of those fancy new cars, maybe it'll park it itself, I guess, right? I don't know. I don't have one of those, but I think coming around.
I see them on the commercials where you just put your hands up and it does that for you.
It looks good.
I don't know. Self-driving cars, I'm all for progress and everything else. I saw a headline yesterday that said Mercedes-Benz is recalling some edition because it was allowing you to play video games while the computer was driving the car. And I'm not mad at Mercedes, and I'm not mad at the guy that bought the Mercedes or the computer programmer who came up with. But if it runs into me, I got problems. You know, I'm just that's when it affects me. That's when I get a little itchy there. Mayor John Hamilton puts up with me every Tuesday. So this is new back angle parking, and if you would like more information, you can go to the city's website. I would hope that would be up there. It should be up there, ready to go. And go try it before you knock it. Before you knock it.
Try it. You might like it.
That's right. It might spread like wildfires. No. It might spread like city fires. Now we've kind of week we've seen an update and an update and an update from the controlled burn that the Bloomington Fire Department did on High Street. We found that were levels of lead paint that were burned off, that were falling into neighborhood residences. It looks like, and I'm glad you're here, because this might be the final report we're looking at. We had some people independently look at this and tell us the lead levels. You had all your firefighters tested, and now you've thrown this to a third party just to make sure everything is safe and sound. What was the final results of these testing on the lead paint?
Yeah, thanks for asking about that. And, you know, Fire Chief Moore and I have both said we shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake. We did everything that the law said we should do and got all the approvals to do it, but we wouldn't do it again and we won't do it again because what happened was the lead paint that was on that house, which was known and wasn't required to be abated, during the fire, some of those chips were carried in the plume of smoke, and some of them deposited on some properties to the west as the wind was blowing. It wasn't super windy. But the short answer, I think, is, Mike, that those were lead paint chips that were spread. They were cleaned up. There was concern about, well, is there going to be contamination of the soil? Is there going to be lead dust that's going to get infused into surfaces or in our blood, are we breathing it, and those kinds of things. And that's what we were worried about, because lead paint chips are actually pretty common in old neighborhoods, because a lot of houses have lead paint and they flake off. But so the cleanup was done. We hired a third party, a couple of them actually, to do the cleanup and the review. And this final report, as you referenced, which just came out a couple of days ago, basically said, look, we tested air, we tested soil, we tested leaves, we tested surfaces, and we tested blood in the announcement we made, and all of those were negative in terms of any indicators of problems. So the which is good, and we're happy about that. We're still not glad we did it, and while we trained our firefighters and they learned some valuable stuff, we're not going to do it that way again. But that report really gave us assurance that once the chips were cleaned up, that was really what needed to be done, and there were no other indicators of problems. So we were very relieved to share that, and we do think it lets us kind of close the chapter and move on and learn new ways to train our firefighters. Other than that,
yeah. And the interesting part is, where else do you go? There, you've taken it all the way up the ladder. Speaking of that, appeals process has begun for the Planning Commission. Tell me where that stands. That's newer information, I think.
Yeah. Well, as I think you'll remember, I told you this is kind of something I don't worry about a lot, but it'll get worked out in the courts. And
that next step is happening, right?
Yes, it is. And the court gave the stay, which we requested, and said, okay, you don't need to change anything let the courts work, and while they're working, just leave it as it is. So that means keep the person that I put on there, and the other person that was nominated by somebody else can sit in the wings and wait, and we'll just see what happens in the courts. And again, either way, the Plan Commission is going to do its work. It's good citizen resident volunteers who are making that happen, and they're making decisions on our behalf, and we'll keep doing it, and whatever the court tells us to do in the end, we'll do.
And I will tie this in expertly, because you have plenty of places for city residents to volunteer on boards and commissions, and you're in charge of appointing those folks. There's plenty. You have multiple. What's the word I'm looking for? You've got
openings.
Everything opening from public safety to historic preservation to redevelopment to sustainability. It's just not. It's very multiple disciplinary. How about that?
Ooh,
God, I almost fell out of my chair there. That was we're not doing that again at Christmas time. But here's how the government works. Here's how it runs. You got to be a city resident. We know that. But plenty of openings to get involved on how Bloomington works.
Yeah, you know, we have, I think, 33 dozen or so boards and commissions that are some are created by state law, some are created by local ordinance. I appoint a bunch of members. City Council appoints some members. Sometimes there are partisan balance requirements. Sometimes there aren't. There are usually residency, city resident requirements, though not always. And we welcome people. There's more than 200 members of those boards and commissions. And, you know, Martin Luther King celebration, sustainability and environment, and there's all kinds. You can get on there and check it out. A lot of people do that and get on a board and commission and then get more involved in the city. A lot of our council members, you know, served on a board and commission. I served on the Sustainability Commission before I became a mayor and got involved in city government directly that way. So I encourage it people to look at. It's a good way to get into the civic space.
Deputy Mayor Don Griffin Jr. told me he was on the Redevelopment Commission at age 24. So that's getting started kind of early. There's not really an age requirement, but
did he tell you he's 27 now? Was he making
stuff
up?
Yeah, that's what he said. Very good, very good. But you don't have to be like a U.S. senator or a congressperson where you have to be of a certain age to get involved with this. And I didn't know that, so I thought that was fantastic. And if you want to get involved, there's ways to do it regardless of your age. You just have to be
Indeed.
A resident of the city, and that's the key to all that. I'll tell everybody where to go, bloomington.in.gov/boards, and you can see all the openings that are up there. Now, how do you go about choosing? Are these difficult decisions? Do you have a stack of paperwork on your desk? If there's one opening, do you get 1,000? Do you get 500? Do you get 10 people into that? How does this work?
Yeah, I mean, it varies. Some of the commissions are, for example, public safety. I've worked really hard to make sure we have a very diverse group, because this is the residents who oversee the police department and the fire department, and I want to make sure that we have a really good, diverse group of people who bring lots of perspectives on behalf of the community. Parks Board, we look for people who are, you know, kind of keen on, interested in parks. Plan Commission, people who, you know, can help identify the built environment. I work really hard to have a diverse mix of folks. For example, I'm really proud our Board of Public Works, which is three people who oversee contracts and money spending, have been three women since my first day in office, and that's unusual. It's certainly not been the case, but they're wonderful leaders of the city who help direct that. So anyway, we some are very popular. Some we do have to recruit for. We have to call you up. In fact, if I got your number now, I might call you. Well,
yeah.
You'll see. You know, you get recruited to be on a board or commission. But it's varied, and the council has a process. They actually go through a vote to approve them, typically interview, and we interview and talk to folks and try to find the right mix.
And I will correct myself. City residency is required for membership on most, but not all, of the boards
exactly.
and commissions. So you'd have to do your homework there if you're not a city resident on which ones you can. Now, those will all be filled by the end of January, Mayor Hamilton, so this is kind of time sensitive, is that right?
Well, they range. Some are open at the end of December. There's a bunch that typically cycle in January, but some are through the year. So it's good to just keep an eye. But this time of year, we have the highest concentration of changing. Yeah.
Gotcha. One last bit of business, and we'll let you get to your holiday season. Where is the city council? Do we have any big things they need to do here in the next couple weeks? Are they done this week, tonight? Where are we at there? I do a terrible job of keeping up with that.
They've done most of their work. We kind of do a cleanup fiscal bill that they did last week, and I think they may be wrapping up a couple loose ends, but they're basically getting ready to kick off next year and scheduling that full year and get new leadership. They typically vote on that in the weeks ahead, and we'll look forward to that. And I'm getting off this show, and I'll be talking to the leadership in just a moment about what's coming up next. So ask me when we get back together, too.
Excellent. And if the case of that is not until next year, well, that might be the case. So let's plan on January 4th. Enjoy your holidays and your Christmas with your family, and a Happy New Year, all that fun stuff. And we'll get back together then on January 4th. Have a super holiday, and I really appreciate you being on with us all year long. And the insight that you bring every Tuesday. Thank you.
Mike, thank you so much. Happy holidays and Happy New Year to all your listeners. And I really appreciate you sharing so much information about our government that we all share. And I'll look forward to talking to you next year.
All right. So, see you next year. All right.
Bye.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Mayor John Hamilton joins us almost, as we mentioned, every non-holiday Tuesday.